Welcome to Sunset Conversations, a BullfrogEntertainment.com production. I am your host, Papa Mark Lichterman, along with my partner, production coordinator, Mark Florkowski. On the 15th and 30th of each month, we will present you with an interesting and entertaining topic. One exception, that pesky February will be the 28th. Our podcast is a mixed bag of our daily life experiences as they relate to us and all of you. We look at personal observations. These may include such topics as fruits, coffee, teenage relationships with grandparents, traffic, vacations, daily frustrations, and joys. Our goal is to show the audience how ridiculous, silly, and of course joyful our lives can be. Each episode will end with a big smile, like when eating ice cream. Please enjoy our Sunset Conversations as we take you through the journey of life. Send your questions, comments, and suggestions to info@bullfrogentertainment.com. Tap, tap, shake, shake, squeeze, squeeze. Volume looks good for my voice where I'm sitting.
Oh, yeah.
Looks okay? Okay. Sniff, sniff. Once again, I am in search of the perfect cantaloupe.
Not just any cantaloupe?
Not just any. The perfect cantaloupe. This, for some, is a very serious quest. Almost as serious as the search for the perfect watermelon.
I can't imagine.
The TikToks and the videos on the perfect watermelon. We'll get into finding that perfect watermelon. The very searching for perfection makes these and other quests virtually impossible.
Nothing's impossible. Stop it.
Well, yes, I have myself eaten an excellent cantaloupe and watermelon. How about you, Mark?
Well, you know, I've been to some hotel breakfasts and, enjoyed some delicious fruit, just amazing. And, when you talk about the perfect cantaloupe, I think I've tasted some excellent cantaloupe here and there. And watermelon, I have definitely had my fair share after all these years of having a perfect watermelon now and then. I think what I really know is bad watermelon.
Well, we all do.
Or bad cantaloupe.
Yes, yes, yes. Crunchy cantaloupe. How about you, our listening audience? What do you think? Have you had the perfect cantaloupe, the perfect watermelon?
Yeah, I don't want to get us in trouble, but yeah, go ahead. Send in your comments. We'd like to hear about some experiences, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, we're just sitting around doing nothing, watching the sunset every night.
So it's Sunset Conversations. Have you not experienced an excellent tasting cantaloupe, as we both have said? Sure we have.
Yeah, send us an email.
Send us an email to info at
BullfrogEntertainment.com.
Trying to be perfect there, so trying to be perfect can cause conflict within the mind sometimes. So, have you had a super sweet and juicy peach?
Oh.
That could be perfect.
For sure.
It's almost perfect, of course. On the other hand, sometimes, even with all our knowledge, we end up with a bad peach.
Well, I think that's my world of angst, where, I go to the produce store and I'm like, oh, gosh, I just don't want to pick a bad piece of fruit, bring it home, cut it, and go like, well, gonna have to throw that one away.
And that's the whole premise of, I think, this podcast today. Yes, you can get a bad cantaloupe, and of course, yes, a watermelon.
What somebody forgot to do, Mark, is color code fruit as it ripens. So that when you go to the produce store, you go like, oh, I know that one is just what I want.
That one's exactly the one I'm looking for, yes, yes. Hey, how about other life experiences? An imperfect run down a ski slope. The big fish that gets away.
Whoosh, whoosh.
The tennis ball that sails over the fence.
Oh, yeah, the baseball that breaks the window.
Baseball that breaks the window, absolutely. Yes, many of our experiences are marred by our search for perfection.
So true. So true.
And why is this? Because sometimes searching for only perfection can mess up a truly great experience. And this, I will not allow.
Okay.
I will not. Today, we will look at the lighter side of being perfect. My Sunset Conversation partner, Mark, has coined the phrase, never let perfection get in the way of excellence.
Well, thank you, Mark, for praise I shouldn't deserve.
That's it. Well, it was an excellent, almost perfect phrase coining.
All right.
Don't let a bad cantaloupe stop you from trying another. On today's broadcast, let's have fun with perfect.
Or imperfect?
Or imperfect.
Yeah, oh, let's go back to perfect.
What a perfect idea. All right, well, hey, this is the perfect cantaloupe episode. So it would be, what is it called? What's that word? Not remorse. There's a word for it. I don't know what it is. Again, that's my
Well, Chicago. What's the feeling that you're trying to express, Mark?
Well, if we didn't talk about cantaloupe.
Oh, remiss.
Remiss, that's it. That's it was an R-E right. kind of word, yes. Yeah. It would be remiss, right? So let's
you're
take
forgiven.
A look at a cantaloupe.
You're forgiven now because you Thank won't you. Be I mean, in the state of remiss.
I mean, yes. So let's take a look at cantaloupe. Looking at the cantaloupe happens to be one of the most important things, as well as some others I'll come up with here. But the color of the cantaloupe is supposed to be a rich golden yellow or a cream color. And, hey, the important thing here, because everyone's cream color, golden yellow color can be different, is if you see green on the cantaloupe, greenish tints in that, it's not ripe. Just don't pick that cantaloupe
That's
up.
Perfect. It's color-coded.
It's color-coded.
That's what I need.
That's, yes.
Now,
that's
now
exactly right.
I'm going to have far less angst going into the produce store looking for a cantaloupe. It's like, okay, I know these guys, they're not even going to make it into my basket.
Yes. Here's another one that should be easy for us to, easy I say, stem scar. What's stem scar, you say? I say, well, hey, think of the belly button.
Okay.
It's an innie.
All right.
If the cantaloupe That's has cool. an innie belly button, then it was picked when it was ripe.
Well, that was easier than I imagined. I thought we were like going to look for a good-looking scar.
That's no scars. It's the innie. Innie belly button. Cantaloupe might very well be good.
So tell us, Mark, are you an innie?
I'm an innie, yeah. Hey, in the beginning, I talked about sniff, sniff, touch, touch, or whatever it was, squeeze, squeeze. Feel. You mm-hmm. got to feel the cantaloupe. Softness. Gently press. Not hard. Gently press on the flower end. Now, that's the other side from the innie belly button, in case you didn't know.
It's like the back side of the moon.
Hit the butt of the cantaloupe, yeah. And, you know, if it springs back gently, I guess you're okay.
Well, you better have a good set of hands here. You know, like, yeah.
So you can see someone going through this in the store. The important thing, again, for the softness in that is just avoid the mushy cantaloupes. You don't want mushy spots on your cantaloupe.
This is confession time, Mark. I want to know, how do you feel when you see people trying the grapes or the fruit? Because they're just scared that they're going to buy a bunch of grapes and they're going to be sour, not very tasty.
I can remember growing up, I did try all those things.
Oh, you did?
Today, though, I've been inundated with, oh, my God, that stuff hasn't been washed and everything else. I'm afraid to eat a grape. I'm not afraid the store is going to nab me. Mm-hmm. I'm afraid I'll get sick from eating a stupid grape that hasn't been washed or has been fingered by 20 different customers that came in.
Next time I go to the produce store, I'm going to be watching for people feeling up the cantaloupes.
Yeah, check it out, okay? Skin texture, it should be smooth. Aroma, that's the sniff, sniff. And then basically we got the perfect cantaloupe picked out at that point. It should be ripe. With an aroma of strong, sweet, musky aroma. And if it doesn't smell, it's not ripe.
It looks like I'm going to be getting a little more friendlier with cantaloupes when I go to the produce store.
I think you should.
I think I will.
That's cantaloupe. Now, today's big thing, we've all discussed over the years cantaloupes and that. But lately, I have found that finding the best banana.
The best banana. How long does it take you to eat a banana?
This can be... Remember, the bananas, a lot of times you buy them green.
Oh, gosh.
You don't buy a green cantaloupe and let it ripen.
I'm sorry. I used to live atop a convenience store when I was in college, so I just go get my bananas every morning.
This, right off the bat, is a potential problem because you buy bananas both green and both ripe.
Right.
Or ripe, you think.
I never figured out the timing on how to go from, you know, green to just golden yellow, it's just
no,
right. Before it turns into that, I'm just not into mushy bananas. They'll be in the garbage can.
No, no. So here, for immediate use, choose bananas that are bright yellow, okay, with a few, here this gets tricky, a few brown spots indicating sweetness and ripeness. Okay, that's, you know, again, this is why you can't always find it, a few. Okay, for later use.
This would be a perfect video podcast because everybody can see the faces I'm making.
It's like, give me a break, okay? This is why, again, perfection. It's impossible, folks, to use a banana later. Well, now, bananas that are mostly yellow with some green on the ends will ripen over time. Well, no kidding. What do you mean, some yellow and green?
Over time.
What about when they're all green in the store? Never mind. Stem length. This one I've heard recently.
Stem length, yes.
And size I found matters. This to be true. Bananas with shorter stems are often sweeter and more flavorful than those with long stems. So don't get greedy. Those great big long bananas that you'll see sometimes in the store? Uh-uh. Those are probably not going to be a really good banana. That one I have found actually to be true.
Hmm.
So texture, appearance.
So what are you saying? We're going with the stubbies.
You should go with the stubby bananas.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, a lot of people say, how do you keep bananas fresh for longer periods of time? Well, we are all learning. I'm learning. Wrapping that end with plastic or whatever helps because of the gassing. Yes, they got banana hooks, and you know what? They actually do something. They stop the banana from being bruised, and they prevent spoilage to some extent.
Wrap some, what do they call that, plastic wrap
around
the
plastic wrap.
Around the
My wife wraps some kind of paper over it. There's all she's creating all new ways of, yes, doing some kind of banana wrap. Plastic wrap is a perfect thing. And actually, the gas is called ethylene. Who would even think ethylene? Isn't that what's in our cars? 10% ethylene or something. we're eating a shell gasoline.
There's a joke
banana.
In there too somewhere, but I'm not going to go there.
Okay, keep. Here we go. This is important again. If you want that ripe, perfect banana, first of all, if you wrap them, you can extend it by up to 5 days. So there you go. You got a week almost of bananas, but keep the bananas away from other ethylene producing fruits. Like apples, avocados, those kind of things can actually cause your bananas to ripen even faster.
Oh, boy.
So you get that fruit bowl thing, and you put the bananas laying in there with the apples and everything.
Well, everybody, you know, we're going to have to put some notes out on bullfrogentertainment.com.
Yeah, I mean, who would think it's so involved with a banana? This is even harder than...
It's too involved.
This is harder than a cantaloupe, okay? Refrigerate your bananas only when they're fully ripe. And guess what? That'll slow down the ripening. And here's something I learned. I didn't know this. I have always froze my bananas, and I don't freeze just the black ones. I freeze the ones that are still good to eat because when I make banana whatever, I don't like just the black ones because it's so sweet. Mm-hmm. I like some banana texture, okay? Right. Important, though. Always freeze your bananas by peeling them first. This I've never done.
Oh, okay.
And even slicing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that has something to do with the texture thing later on. So that's just a little tip for our listening audience. Let us know, too, what do you do with your bananas? I mean, and that's about all I got on bananas.
I'm glad, because I think that was a lot.
That's a lot of banana. Well, hey, after all of that stuff on bananas, how can we not talk about the perfect watermelon?
Hold it right there, buddy. You know, we did a lot of talking about bananas, and now we're going to talk about a fruit that's like 10x the size of it, the other one.
The watermelon.
I'm watching the clock here.
Let's see what we can find out.
Okay, let's go.
Weight and size, okay? You got to choose a watermelon that feels heavy for its size. What does that even mean, feels heavy for its size? Of course, that means there'd be more water content, and some say even more sweetness. I don't know. Skin appearance, lots of people talk about that. Dark, dull skin, avoid the shiny ones.
Wow, let's get superficial about this.
This is insane. How do you stand there examining all these watermelons like this?
Do you look like for the nice, consistent color all the way around, the orb of the watermelon?
Well, you got to look for the flat spot, I guess.
Right, where it laid on the ground.
Creamy
right?
Yellow, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or orange spot on the underside. This can indicate whiteness. You want to avoid the watermelons with the white or pale green spots.
All right, check.
Okay.
I got
white or pale
box.
Green spots.
All right.
Webbing. Well, larger webbing or sugar spots, as they're called, suggest a sweeter melon.
Wow. I'd like to see a picture of that.
Shape. Of course, shape. I've seen watermelons all kinds of various shapes, but round or oval without irregular bumps could mean a better watermelon.
Aha. That's what I was getting at.
And so here we are. Here's all your direction lately explained to you, our audience.
That's all of it?
And that's it, other than I have to add that yesterday my wife and I were at our grocery store, one of our many that we visit, and she decided she wanted a watermelon. And rather than asking me, who should be the expert now of finding the perfect watermelon, she goes to the guy that works in the produce department and says, pick me out a watermelon. And he grabs up a watermelon and starts thumping on him. Thump, 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 puts it back. Thump, 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 puts it back. Shakes it, thump, 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 puts that one back. Finally, after the thumping and the shaking, he puts this one in our cart. Of course, you want to know whether it was a good watermelon. That you'll have to find out later because we haven't cut it open yet. But it's a tease for the future. It was round. The color looked nice.
Good webbing.
And I guess the webbing is fine. And it thumped pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's the watermelon.
Let's ask our listeners to send us in an email and let us know if they use the thumping method and how successful they are at it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and otherwise, humor in the unexpected can help achieve excellence without perfection. And that's what that was. Humor and unexpected occasion in the grocery store. In the end, things may just turn out perfect.
Exactly. And this was perfect. It was a lot shorter than bananas.
Yes. So, you know, as I just mentioned, you know, about humor and the unexpected, and if you're trying to be perfect, you know, don't worry about it so much that, you know, in the end, things might just turn out being perfect. Anyhow.
Yeah, we don't let perfect people into the studio, do we?
You can't let it get in your way.
Right.
You know, there's stress relief. Humor can reduce the stress of trying to be perfect. In this little segment, I'll tell you some stories of things that turned out to be perfect where I wasn't looking for perfection. And there it was, as I said, it may just turn out perfect anyway.
Right.
Took a trip with some friends. We went to Savannah and we had someone picking us up at the airport. And we were worried, you know, well, we want this to be perfect. We don't want to miss the guy who missed our ride. How will we ever know who or where, you know, where the guy's going to pick us up?
Yeah.
And down we go to get our luggage, and it's like crazy. We're the only people coming down the escalator.
Wow.
And here's this little man standing there all by himself with a sign with my name on it. Perfect. There he is. How could it be any easier? We didn't have to look left, right, or anything. We walked right up to him, got in the car. Perfect example of perfect happening without even realizing it. Things that can help you with being creative. When something that you wanted to be perfect doesn't happen. Same trip, we had a fishing adventure set up. It happened to be one of those blue moon, super moon times of the year. And when we called the fishing captain to say, you know, where do we meet you? What time this morning are we going? Or whatever. He said, well, sorry to say, but we're not going. I don't want to just take your money. All the boats are tilted in the harbor. The moon was so big, so strong, and the tides were so unusual that there's no water in the harbors.
Oh, wow.
So, again, our supposed perfect fishing adventure, not to worry. Again, we use laughter, humor, creativity, and we end up just taking our golf cart and cruise the island, explore things we might never have seen, and have absolutely the most perfect day. Laughing at mistakes. This is a good one. This goes back 40 years or more. I wanted to impress my wife, who was just a new girlfriend.
Uh-oh, this could be a bad ending.
I knew a flower guy, Ziggy the Flower Man, and he had what I thought was the perfect flower for this new beautiful woman that I had met. And I said, Ziggy, what is that flower? He says, oh, this will impress your new girlfriend. It's the perfect flower. Turns out it's a banana flower.
Uh-oh.
Very unusual, very expensive even 40 years ago. I hand it to my wife of today, but not my wife, of course, then.
Your girl.
My girl. And she looks at me and she says, why would you buy me something that the pigs eat?
Oh.
Okay. Well, different ways of looking at things.
You couldn't have Googled it then.
No Google. So I laughed at my mistake. I realized her being Belizean, the pigs do eat banana flowers. Once we went together and visited Belize, sure enough, in her brother's backyard, the pigs were eating the flowers. So, again, laughter makes it a perfect situation.
I've taken all life mistakes and put them under the category of lessons learned.
Right, lessons learned. You know, we'd like to hear from, you know, the audience, your life experiences that became perfectly excellent.
Yeah, there might be some really funny stories.
There could be great stories. You know, we'd love to hear what that is. You know, there are other things that, again, you bump into. I've gone to North Captiva Island in Florida, and from there it's a quick skip over to Captiva Island. Hey, when it comes to food, the perfect Reuben sandwich is at the Mucky Duck on Captiva Island. It's a Reuben made from grouper, and it's, to me, perfect. Okay.
Wow.
The is perfect
line. Is there any truth that the inventor of that sandwich was a quack?
It's, could be. It's, you know, it's the perfect lobster roll.
Oh.
Eaton Street Fish Market in Key West. There, they gave us a sample, and I said, okay, so when you make this into a sandwich, and you add all the other stuff to it, you know, all the celery and all of this and that, and the guy looked at me and said, what? No, that is your sandwich. We just put what I just gave you in between the bread. I mean, it was 99.9% just lobster. It was perfect. Yep. Perfect. Perfect key lime pie. Always on a search for that. Of all places, again, I did a whole Key West and Florida Keys adventure. Hey, just like the president, we're getting phone calls while we're in the middle of something. The perfect key lime pie. Well, again, one of the places you wouldn't expect to find it, at least in my world of perfection that I'm inadvertently searching for, a French pastry shop on Duval Street. It was so perfect, they're out of business now, I guess, when I looked them up. That's why I'm not mentioning the name, because they're not there anymore. But it was perfect to me.
Yeah.
Perfect vacations, basically all of them. You know, if I go to England, it's perfect. Disney, how could it not be perfect? Although there's people that will not agree with that. Savannah, Norway, Belize, North Captiva, and Key West are all, to me, were all perfect vacations. I do not actually remember an imperfect vacation, having never made any of those vacations initially perfect or to be perfect in my mind. They just happen. Perfect times are hanging out with the grandkids, with family, with friends. How can it not be perfect? If for nothing else, perfectionism, here's my belief. Be careful what you wish for. When a wish comes true, you truly need to embrace it and never wish that it could have or should have been more perfect than it is. Just embrace it and enjoy it. Many of us are on a continuous quest for the perfect world, for the perfect life. Good luck with that. Here we go. All right. Well, you know, before we get to the conclusion, which I always have a conclusion at the end of all of our podcasts, and I hope all of you enjoy it, I have to touch on nature and, hey, the perfect sunset. Even with clouds, whatever it is, how can you not have a perfect sunset? Look at our Sunset Conversation homepage.
All sunsets are perfect.
Right? All sunsets are perfect. So, you know, accepting that nothing is perfect really does offer numerous benefits.
Oh, yeah. You know,
real quick, I'm not going to go into each of these. I'll just list them out because...
List them off, Mark. You know, let's go, man.
Try not to be perfect. It reduces stress and anxiety. Feel that?
Take a breath.
It improves relationships. Yes?
Yeah, there's a few married people I know.
It enhances creativity.
Amen.
Otherwise, we would not be very creative at all because we'd be trying to be perfect during this whole podcast thing. It promotes resilience. Yeah.
Which is also a lifesaver.
Absolutely. It increases happiness. There's the eating ice cream. and it fosters personal growth. Have we not grown, you and I, in this whole entire production?
Absolutely. We've been, we've learned so much and we're a lot different than when we first started.
110%.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's ultimately, this is it. Accepting imperfection liberates you as an individual. All of our listeners, I hope, understand a little bit of that. It liberates you from having unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, if it's a little Scottish guy inside me, I want to yell,
freedom! Yeah, right? And it enabling all of us to live a more fulfilling and balanced life.
Amen.
That's perfect.
Yep.
Yes. So, after we learned that by accepting that nothing is perfect, other than... also learning from that the numerous benefits of learning that we should accept that nothing is perfect. It is once again, that was a tongue twister almost, but it was...
You want to try that again?
No, I think, you know what, I'm going to leave it just like it is.
All right.
Not perfect.
Go on, because I know what you're going to say next.
It is once again time for the conclusion.
All right.
Here we go. Just in case you don't know, even Mary Poppins is not perfect.
Don't upset my childhood, myths, beliefs.
It's true.
That's another episode.
It's true.
Oh, gosh.
She is, as the saying goes, perfect, practically perfect in every way. So at times, she may be perfect, and at times, she's not. I have found that the most perfect times are the ones that are intangible. I do not work to acquire perfection. I, though, also, and this is important, do not sell myself short by saying, well, that is good enough. That would not be a proper thing, I think, to do. As we all strive for the excellence in our day-to-day lives, we must understand one important factor. My excellence may not be the same as yours. So as long as I stay true to myself, I will have excellent experiences.
So true. And I'm going to interrupt you. I know
feel
this
free.
Is
jump
a, your
in.
Conclusion, but
jump in.
You know, when you're practicing your excellence, you're elevating my motivation to be excellent too.
That's
so excellent. There's this yin and yang thing going on when everybody practices that.
Yes, yes. That's the intangible perfection.
Exactly. And, you know, that's what makes a team work.
That's totally 100%. And I don't know if this totally pertains to everything, but it kind of, in my mind, kind of did. If any of you, our listening audience, remember the movie Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I think it was the first movie I saw in Canada. You know,
for many, the adventures they went on really would not be excellent. But the movie is a comedy, and that's what's important. Excellent, dude.
That's right.
As they would say throughout the movie. This makes it easier for the viewer to appreciate their adventure. The comedy does. Do you agree that by adding humor to our lives, we can all find it less stressful?
Yep.
I think I agree.
Take the edge off.
As we search for excellence and maybe bump into perfection.
That's the big payoff.
That's the payoff. That's exactly right. The perfect weekend is not perfect because I planned it to be so. It becomes perfect because of the intangible joys that are created by the experience. Please do not stress out.
Yeah, that's right. And there's that magic three-letter word, J-O-Y.
Joy.
People, you know, think it's only a word you see on a Christmas card, but it's actually so much
it's
more.
So much more. In fact, I don't know, wasn't even, what's that movie, all the parts of the human mind, his joy, one of them, I think. I can't remember.
Well, you know, I could look that up on
Inside
Google
Out,
right now.
The movie Inside Out.
Oh, you know what? I still have to see that
movie. Joy
I have to admit that.
I know fear is, but I think joy might be. And if it isn't, well, it should
be. Well, joy is definitely, if fear is an emotion, joy is an emotion.
Yes, yes. So, hey, it's getting closer to fresh fruit season.
Yes.
That super sweet and perfect watermelon.
Yes, you will.
Or the most perfect cantaloupe of my dreams.
There you go.
Thank you. Mark and I really appreciate and thank you for tuning in to our podcast, Sunset Conversations.
Yes, we do.
We hope you enjoyed this week's journey into another mixed bag topic. Until the next time, keep your curiosity alive and your heart and mind open. If you enjoyed today's show, why not share it with a friend who might appreciate our blend of diverse topics and curiosities?
And don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to catch our next episode.
Please visit our homepage, bullfrogentertainment.com. There you will find our podcast notes and links. We look forward to your questions, suggestions, and comments. Send them to info@bullfrogentertainment.com.